This is what it's all about. I want to tell you this, that there's nothing special about this day than any other day when you walk with Jesus. I was a little grieved because in the church history, or at least in the local church history, we spent a lot of resources and time on this service. And I just felt like, what about next Sunday? Because we're going to need a resurrection service that Sunday as well. We're going to need a resurrected king 5 months from now. We're going to need a resurrected king in the summer and in the winter. So I want to encourage you today that what brought you to church should bring you to church every Sunday. What gets you excited today should get you excited on Monday morning when you're headed out to work or headed out to school. It's the same resurrected king that's resurrected me. Today I want to talk to you about resurrected me. John 11:25 says this. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Today, if you're watching us online or if you're here, I want you to know that same resurrected king resurrected you. On Easter Sunday, a resurrection Sunday, we talk about the resurrection of who Jesus is, but we don't talk about what he's done for you. I mean, he resurrected himself, but in turn, he resurrected you. Amen. Everything that was in you before has been resurrected now. I want to share with you a little bit about the idea that resurrection, the word resurrection, I looked up the word resurrect. It means to revive the practice, use, or memory of something and to bring new vigor to. Now, the longer you've been alive, the more you become, in some ways, in some places in your life, kind of complacent. You've seen it. You've been there. You've done it. In fact, some of the things I see with a lot of older people, they'll say to me, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Right? Some of you guys, you know this. It's just recycled. Even our music, you know, we think that it's cool and hip, but it's the same music from the 70s, just repackaged a little bit different. I'm watching the music of the 80s being redone now today, and kids think they're discovering something cool with synthesizers. And I was like, I've been there, done that, right? It's just resurrecting things. It's putting a new vigor on. But what if your life can be resurrected so that you don't no longer have to get up in the morning? Can I just share a little bit about my own personal life? I hate routine, but I have to live in routine. With 6 and 7 on the way, kids, I have to live in routine. You have to get up at a certain time. You got to be at a certain place. If you don't get there, you got to walk those kids in. God help us, parents. It's the dreaded walk in, right? Walking the kids in. You got to sign it. And the worst part of signing it is they make you tell why. Like, you know, it's like, why were you late? I'm like, you don't want to know. It's not enough space on this line here for you to me to write this in there. But how many know that God can resurrect your day to day? When he comes into that moment, he can transform the whole day to day. And I want to tell you something, because this is, we have two testimonies that I want to show you on a video that I think will do so much better than me explaining to you what resurrection means. Some of you know my story, and I want to share my personal testimony through my mom.
I was raised Catholic, and I was always in church, and I loved God. But as I got older, I started to realize, I mean much older, that my friends, they didn't go to church as much as I did, and they didn't seem to have any hang-ups like I did. And so I decided that I would give up on God. Why do I need him? But then a few stressful things came into my life. I was had my first baby, a little girl, and I went into early labor at 5 months, and she only weighed 1.5 pounds. At that time, 40 years ago, they didn't try to keep babies alive that were that small, so she only lived for 4.5 hours. And then during that time, my mother was dying of cancer. In fact, she died on my baby's due date. So I had Mark, and I didn't realize it at the time, but he was allergic to milk. And he just cried and cried and cried all day. I just cried all day when he cried. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, I'm going to commit suicide. Then I looked at Mark, and I said, who's going to take care of this baby? I'm going to take him with me. and I proceeded to take his life. I cut my wrist and I held a pillow over him so he couldn't breathe. But I called out to the God that I had given up on, and I said, God, please help me. And something told me to call the police. And I called the police, and the police came. And the policeman revived Mark because he literally wasn't breathing. They revived him, and I was sent to a mental hospital. And I yelled out to God again, and I said, God, I'm not crazy like these people. Please help me. And he did. My godmother called while I was in the hospital, and my mother-in-law told her that I had a nervous breakdown, and I was going through postpartum depression. I didn't know it at the time. So my godmother said to me, why don't you come to St. Rose's prayer meeting? And at that time, the Catholic Charismatic Prayer Meeting was in full swing. So I went, and the Lord touched me, and I said to Andy, I said, we have to get back to church. We found the Lord, and we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we were able to bring up Mark as a Christian. But I always kept it a secret of what happened. And when Mark was about 5 years old, we were in town, and I saw the policeman who revived him. And I went up to him and I said, I want to thank you for being used of the Lord, that you revived my son. And Mark heard it. Mark said to me, Mommy, what does revive mean? And I says, I'll tell you when you get a little older. And every once in a while, he would say to me, Mommy, what's that thing that you wanted to tell me? And I says, I'll let you know. And I never told him until I moved here to Nashville, and he was 35 years old. The Lord told me, you can't keep it a secret anymore. You have to let people know. And so I told him, and I never knew that he would be a pastor. And that's the reason why the devil didn't want him to live, because he knew what Mark would become, and God would use it for his glory. God is a God of restoration, a God of forgiveness, a loving God, a faithful God. Even though I gave up on him, he never gave up on me. And God will do whatever it takes to get us to turn back to him or to turn to him. If it wasn't because of how loving he is, I wouldn't have my second son, Matthew. Also, I wouldn't have 6 beautiful grandchildren. I was raised...
Resurrection power in my life. I have been resurrected from Christ. I have been resurrected because of what he's done for me, and it's because he stepped into time. So resurrection means a little something to me. You know, I never knew my mom in another way. I never knew that. I lived my life knowing she was an amazing mom. She went out of her way. She played games with us, probably let us win, because she just wanted to let us win. When I heard that story, I never in a million years would have thought that was my life. But I know personally what he's done for me. See, I've experienced something in my life. And it's a day-to-day thing. And the one thing I could say is that he continues to resurrect things in my life. It's not just my physical being, but he resurrects dreams. He resurrects passions. He resurrects me when I feel like I'm a bad dad. He resurrects me when I feel like I'm a bad son. He resurrects me when I feel like I can't be the husband that my wife needs. This is what resurrection does. He not only comes into your life and he gives you the ability now to not suffer in hell. We know that resurrection story, that he took the keys of hell and death and the grave. He took them from hell, and he gave us the ability now to say we don't have to live in our sin. But also he gave us the resurrection power. See, the power, the dunamis, the next level, the Holy Spirit that came in and not only said, you're going to get through life, but you're going to change the atmosphere around you. See, that's what I get to do. That's what you get to do today. Christ's resurrection was more than just for him. But Romans 8:11 says this. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Say me. Point to yourself and say me. He dwells in you. The same Christ that resurrected. The same resurrection power we just sang about is in you. I don't know if we get this as a church. Because I look at the church all over the world and we're getting pockets of people that understand it. But what if we really understood that same power that caused Jesus, that a rock had to get... I mean, listen, there was every odd was against him. Every odd. He was beaten almost to death. Then he had to carry the cross, set it up, get on it, pierced and bruised and beaten. And then put in a cave with a rock that couldn't be moved by one person. All odds were against him, yet he still rose again. He still rose again. Now, let me even say this. His disciples were told from Jesus himself in 3 days. We read it last week. He told them so much time ahead, yet they still struggled when he died. They thought, we're done, we're done. That's the church today. We know what he did. Many of us, we know this story. We taught it in children's church. We did the flannel graphs. We did it all. But are you living the resurrected power? That's what I want to talk to you today about. Because if you are, this world would change. Spring Hill would change. Your school would change. Your work would change. Your home environment would change. Everything would change because when Jesus rose, it's so interesting. There were signs and wonders that took place when he died and when he rose up. Things were broken. Earthquakes happened. Dead people came out of the grave. Some of us don't even know that story. But when Jesus, the resurrected power actually caused an earthquake of power to raise up other people. And they're walking around going, I don't even know why I'm here. Something just woke me up. And can you imagine that kind of power in you? That's the kind of power we sing about. That's why you can look up here. And I always struggle sometimes being a pastor and worshiping because I just really love to worship God. And so some people probably think I'm crazy, but I am. I really am in some ways. I'm just crazy about what he's done for me. And I'm tired of giving him a sacrifice of praise that doesn't require me something. And I decided that I want to give him a sacrifice of praise. That means I have to look a little foolish. That means I have to worship him when I don't want to. That means that I have to stand when I'm tired because that's a sacrifice of praise. The same spirit who was in Christ Jesus dwells in you. Do you really understand that, church? He has resurrected me. He's resurrected me. Yes, my story is literally been resurrected from death to life, but I spiritually have been resurrected from death to life. Whew. Can you tell that I love Jesus? I hope you can because I really do. And I'm not perfect. For some of you, you think, well, man, I can't be perfect. Guess what? He welcomes you in your imperfection. He welcomes you in. In fact, his grace says, you know what? Yeah, you're a little messy, but I got that. Just come on in. Just come on in. Listen, I want to tell you this. This is the struggle I have with church today. When we talk about the death of Jesus, it's like just watching Star Wars 4 and not watching 5 and 6. Some of you Star Wars people, you know what I'm talking about. It's a great movie, but you got to get to Return of the Jedi when all things come to completion. It's like watching the Lord of the Rings 1. Some of you, I've lost you in both of these. Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, I have no idea. It's like watching Father of the Bride 1 and then 2, which wasn't nearly as good as 1. I mean, can you just imagine watching some of these epic movies and stopping at the first one? You missed the whole, listen, Jesus dying, coming back is the reason why we're here. But it's the beginning of a story that continues on. And we preach that story like it's the gospel. The gospel is living, breathing in us. When I preach the gospel, it's not just Jesus died and rose again, but then he came and he gave us Holy Spirit and everything changed from this point on. The gospel is continuing on in you. The book of Acts has no completion because it completes itself in us. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. His resurrection power actually activates something in us that was stolen from us in the garden. See, this is the greatest thing about Jesus. He is a man of his word. When he starts something, he will complete it. What he started in the garden, although it got a little messy and messed up and junked up, he said, I'm going to come. And I'm going to restore the connection because you were built and you were born to be in a garden. And that meant you were born and built to be in communion with Jesus. That means you shouldn't have to come to church to speak to Jesus. He is with you. What we've done as the church in general is we made a man, a pastor, a priest, the way to get to God. It says that no one can come to God except through Jesus. That's it. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I need to talk to God for a moment. And he makes intercession all the time for us. I got to be careful because I have to lead you to that place right there. That table right there. That communion is where we're going today. Let you in on something here. I'm leading you to a place where you commune with Jesus today. I want to get out of the way so you can hear from him. It's resurrection power. I want to read you this in John 16. Verses 12 through 15. This is good. It still messes with me. John 16, verses 12. It says, Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. And I love this. Listen, if you have ears, let him hear them today. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, Jesus says. And therefore I said, Holy Spirit will take what is Jesus's and he will declare it to you. Every tool in Jesus's tool belt can be used by you today. Everything that Jesus spoke about, I want to share just some examples of the things that Jesus does. He always, something dies and then it resurrection. Look at this. Sin, your sin died and grace resurrected. Your past died and your purpose was resurrected. Look what else. Your sickness died and your healing was resurrected. Your despair died. Your hopelessness died and he gave you hope. It was resurrected in you. Your, what else? Your loneliness died and then he resurrected you into a family. No matter what your natural family looks like, God places you in a healthy, vibrant, functional family. And look what else he does. Your need. Your knee dies and your provision becomes resurrected. These are the things that Jesus does. And he wants to get through your heart to fix your needs. So I'm here to tell you today, there's no magic genie bottle Jesus that you can rub and get your wishes. What you have to do is you have to give him your heart. And I'm talking to people that are saved here today. I'm not saying you come forward and you commit your life to Jesus. That's the start. But some of you, you've done that, but you've really not given him your heart. I'm talking about really giving him your heart, where literally everything you have is his. Everything he has is yours. If you can't tug upon the things that Jesus has, then it's not his fault, but it's something out of a line in you. And today it changes. Today, I declare it. I declare that to you today. His word changes it today. Worship team, you can come up here today. I want to share with you one more video testimony here. And this is a testimony of someone in this church that we all know really well. And I want you to know that not only does Jesus resurrect your dreams, but sometimes he actually resurrects life.
Our story kind of begins early on in our marriage. We were kind of told that we might not be able to have kids. We wound up having about 3 miscarriages. We got a surprise, another pregnancy, and about a week into it, she went to doctor's appointment, and what did they see there?
A baby.
They saw a baby. Okay.
We were probably 2-3 weeks in when we were told that we miscarried again, and we went to a church that we had just started attending because we were very new to the area. And they prayed over us, and 2 days later, the doctors called to have me retest my numbers, and I went in and found out that I was still pregnant. I hadn't lost that baby, and that's Annika. So that's so our first miracle.
Yeah, she was definitely our miracle baby. We tried to have more kids and never could get pregnant, and so we're like, well, maybe we're done. I wound up having a job with some good benefits that could help out with fertility stuff. So we decided, let's just see what happens. It took right away and went in 1 week and the baby there and everything looks good. And went in the following week and we saw something different.
There's nothing there. And I knew right away from the ultrasound tech's face because she just dropped and was like, I gotta leave the room and... You know, so I knew right away. So that night, we had told Annika when we were tucking her into bed. I told her, you know how we told you there's a baby in mommy's belly? She's like, yeah. I go, well, unfortunately today we found out that the baby died. And she started crying. And she starts praying that, that God would put the baby back in my belly. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm gonna heartbreak this kid. I've never seen that happen before. That's not something that I would have thought was possible.
I refused to believe what the doctor said. At first I was like, this isn't happening again. We got through one successfully, but we're gonna do it again. I went to do what I do when I gotta get emotions out, and I started playing music. And I wound up writing a song about our lost babies and how sad it was. But no matter how much I wanted to write a sad song, by the end of it, I was praising God. By the end of that, I was like, there's a baby. I'm not giving up. My faith did a 180.
The next week when we went in, I went into the ultrasound and she started not knowing that I had miscarried and there was a heartbeat. And I just remember, sorry, I just remember crying because I has no idea. And the ultrasound tech was kind of like, are you okay? And I go, yeah. I go, last week I was told I miscarried and she couldn't believe it. I told her that what my daughter prayed and what Derek had said. And I go, you know, we got a miracle, another miracle. And I truly believe that Colin is here because of Annika's prayer and because of Derek's stand of faith, that there's something that changes when the head of the household makes a declaration of faith and stands on it.
Miracle number 2. You thought it was a once in a lifetime, it happened twice.
We found out that Colin had a heart defect called tetralogy of Fallot. you know, they warned us that he could be blue, he could not be breathing, he may need, like, immediate surgery. You just don't know until they're born. So when he was born, he came out screaming and kicking with bright red hair and, you know, that stubbornness that he has now. I remember the whole room was kind of surprised that he was doing so well. It had been just under 48 hours since I had him. And they said, you guys can take him home. And I remember thinking, really? And our pediatrician said that when they called her, they said it was the fastest release of a baby with tetralogy of Fallot that they've ever had. He had open heart surgery at 4 months old, but has never once shown any sign besides his unique heartbeat that he ever had a heart problem. After Colin was born and heart surgery, Derek got cancer. He had testicular cancer. We went from finding out to 2 days later he was in surgery. So knowing that we had not prevented pregnancy for a long time, needed help to get Colin, now we're a factory down, you know, we're like, there's no way that we can get pregnant again. And I wasn't feeling good. I was like, I'll just take a pregnancy test to prove it's not pregnant. And I remember my jaw dropped when it came up positive. Was told that they really didn't think I'd make it to 24 weeks. And here I am, almost 38 weeks pregnant, and I'm still pregnant. Ready to meet this little guy.
Yeah. The third miracle baby.
Prayer team, come on up here. This is my favorite part of the service because I get to invite you into an encounter with the Jesus that gets me all excited. So today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, now listen, hear me today. I know that churches all over the world are doing this, and I celebrate with those churches. I celebrate with the thousands and the millions of people that are going to give their life to Christ today. And some of them have already have. I celebrate with the persecuted churches in the nations where they literally have to fear for their life to walk into a place. But guess what? Jesus is with them. And so even right now, can we just pray this over the churches that are being persecuted right now? God, we just lift them up with a spirit of faith, a strength within their bones right now for my friends, my family, my brothers and sisters in nations where they literally will be killed for their faith. I pray for them today, right now, that you give them the power of the Holy Spirit to break strongholds. God, we pray for the Muslim nations right now that they would have an encounter with Jesus. No Sharia law is going to stop Holy Spirit from moving. I have a simple, quiet faith that says, no God before my God. I don't fear what they bring because I know God is greater. And to the same God that did it on Calvary, he'll do it again. Can we just sing this one thing before? And as we're singing it, if God is tugging at your heart, I want you to come up here and let us pray with you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, be careful. It'll change your life. If you want to really see God move, come up here today. If you need healing in your body, let us pray with you today. If you just need someone to give you a prophetic word, come up here today. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. Come on.
I believe.
You believe it?
I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe.
I believe. Come on.
I'll see you.
Come on. You can come up now. That's okay. Come on.
See you move.
Come on.
You move the mountains.
I trust that the word and the testimonies today have blessed your heart. I know as I was listening while this program was recording, tears came to my eyes again as I heard some of the testimonies. And earlier in that service, we had the opportunity to see baby number 3 at the age of 9 days being dedicated unto the Lord. Truly today, we serve a God that answers prayer. Also, souls came forward that day and were saved. This is what it's all about, folks. This is why Jesus came. This is why he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, so that we could have that resurrection. We could be resurrected from this old life of sin into a new life with him. Be restored into that life that he wants us to have, that place that he wants us to be. And my friend, he's coming again for us someday, and it may be sooner than you think. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to do it right now. Won't you ask him into your heart and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I accept you today. Change my life. Resurrect me into the newness of life with you. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didascalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.